And we're live in 3, 2, 1.
On air.
What's good, Flag of Hall visitors and clean sheet listeners? It's a beautiful day in paradise, obviously. Not literally, because it is a shitty weather outside. But today I have a very exciting podcast to bring you guys today. But before I get into that, you need to know something very, very important. And that is... That if you are looking for a wide variety of topics, including sports, politics, memes, music, and much more, check out all that Flagler Media has to offer on flaglermedia.com. The website is not up yet, but we do have the domain. So that means we're serious, we're business. So before I get into what the clean sheet is going to be all about, I have to introduce the guys that are going to be doing it with me and that I could not do it without. All friends from high school, middle school. So these are my boys, long time. Rio, what's going on today?
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's me, Rio. Suppose that I'm a Chelsea fan here, and I'm with the boys, and I'm glad to be on the clean sheet. It's going to be a tough time hearing these guys' opinions.
Correct. And as well, obviously, we have Shadam. How you doing today, my man?
What to do, baby? How are you?
I'm chilling. And what the fuck is up, Mono?
What's up, bro? Chilling. City fan.
That's right. And of course, it's me, Enrique, Reek, right here with you guys. So let's get into it. Let's talk about your new favorite podcast, and that's The Clean Sheet. The Clean Sheet. So we're going to be pretty much just tackling, no pun intended, we're going to be tackling just the Premier Division of England. So the BPL, EPL, whatever you call it. So mostly staying in that area and the Premier Club competition in sports football, and that is the UEFA Champions League. We will be dabbling and mentioning, obviously, a lot of talk about La Liga, Bundesliga every now and then. So if you guys do want to see something like that, possibly in a Bundesliga or La Liga podcast, or, you know, League
Farmers
One.
Farmers League, yeah. Come on.
don't hit me up for that, because I'm not doing no French league. I'm not doing Mbappe putting six past Lille. So yeah, hit us up for that if you definitely want to see that. But we're just going to be staying around that. I know the first couple of episodes are going to be more so kind of historical outlook. Obviously, since the season just ended. I do have planned next week. We're going to be kind of tackling our season reviews. But besides that, we're also going to be tackling a little bit of the Euros. But today is mainly about the biggest game in club competition. That's the Champions League final. For those who didn't watch it or live under a rock, that was the club of Manchester City versus, which is Mono's team, if you guys didn't know, with or against the team of Rio. That's Rio's London Blues. And again, quick recap for you guys, a 1-0 victory, Kai Havertz scoring the only goal. So let's get into it. Actually, before we get into it, I want to ask you guys want to do the favorite moments of the CL this year first?
You guys let's talk about the final
first. Yeah, let's talk about that final.
All right, for sure. So
league performance.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I've talked enough. Let's go ahead, guys. What happened?
So let the Mono. City spam. Let the city spam.
You saw the crime scene. By the way, I have to mention, sorry. Me, Mono, and Rio, I had the pleasure of watching it live with them. So we actually planned to record this before the game, and we could see how wrong I was and how right Rio was, or how wrong Mono was and how right I was. We didn't get to it. Technical difficulties, long story short. But we are here to give you a little bit of that post-game smack talk. So Mono, go ahead and tell us about the crime scene that happened last Saturday.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm still kind of bitter about it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Aguero's last season, and he kind of like promised us that he'd get a CL, and it never happened. So it's kind of bittersweet that he had to leave. But you know, I mean, other than that, like it's kind of hard to like say what went wrong. I feel like Pep kind of got the tactics wrong.
Absolutely.
I don't know
that went wrong.
I mean, we were talking about it before the game, and I honestly believe like Fernandinho should have been on the pitch in the first 45 minutes, and he wasn't. And I honestly believe we conceded because of that. But, you know, you live and you learn. We'll run it back next year.
True. Well spoken. Respect.
Let's hear the Chelsea fan. I want to hear your take.
Well, first off, campeones.
Do not support that.
First off, what a performance from the Blues. Thomas Tuchel's Blues from 4 months from Frank Lampard sacking to a CL win. Who expected that, first off? That's the first thing, right? Thomas Tuchel deserves all the credit, but the players do too. They made a huge turnaround, especially with like the new signings, Havertz, Werner, Rudiger getting like, he's not a new signing, but he came back a resurgence, you know? I don't know how the fuck he did it, but that man's a goat. Like that tackle against Foden was like a game-winning tackle.
It was early on. Yeah, he had two of those like in the box, 6 yards away, just crunch tackles, bro. He's
like the man is good. But I gotta give it to City. I honestly think that even if you had Fernandinho or Rodri in there, I honestly thought that was a mistake. I thought Pep got his tactics right. I think the players on the pitch just didn't perform to like their best of their abilities. I've seen City this season. They definitely could have done a lot better in that game. I don't think that was Pep's fault.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you can definitely, like Chelsea obviously wanted that game, like, way, way more than we did. Like, you could tell, like, by the 80th minute, it was only 1-0. There was still 17 minutes worth of games, like, if you include the injury time that was at the end of the game. And, it would cut into, like, a scene of, like, Man City players, like, when it went out for a corner. And, like, all of them, they have, like, their shoulders down, heads down. Like, they're all so deflated by, like, the 80th minute. Like, they didn't really want it, you know. Chelsea.
I think that's a thing you see a lot with City, bro. When they go down, they usually don't come back unless they're playing, like, Norwich City or, like, Huddersfield, bro. But I don't know. That's just how I feel.
When they're playing against, like, fucking plumbers, yeah.
I agree. It's, like, that's partly why, like, I wanted Fernandinho on the field, because, like, he just brings, like, a different level of, like, confidence and experience to our team that, I feel like we really needed in, like, a Champions League final, but.
Yeah. So me and Mono and Riangelo again, we were talking before the game about the lineups, and I was completely I came in the first thing I said, I remember the first thing I sent in the text, I didn't even send like, oh, like you guys see the line. I just said, no Rodri or Fernandinho, you know, because yeah. I mean, look, we talk a lot about Pep, right? We're going to talk a lot about Pep, but the football community talks a lot about Pep, about how he, you know, is able to pull off these like master classes of, oh my God, you would have never thought he'd do something like that. But he's also known for obviously overthinking the big games. And I mean, when you go into a CL final with a team that was, it was kind of, you know, they were obviously playing like a hybrid 5-2-3, 3-4-3 in Chelsea, obviously. And I mean, you're going to go against that with no DM and no number nine, no established number nine. Like you're pushing way here. He played pretty much six players from the midfield up that had not exact play styles, obviously, because Gundogan gives you a lot different going forward than, you know, say like a Bernardo Silva, but essentially six creative midfielder type of players that create really just in the final third. And it's just like, I think he got the lineup wrong. And especially you look at the moves he made mid-game as well. Like, why 1-0 down are you bringing on Fernandinho, bro? Like, stop.
I feel like it was to compensate, to be fair, for, like, Chelsea's midfield, the way they play is just, like it's just tactically brilliant from Tuchel. It takes the fact of, like, the two outside backs being able to exploit City's, like, pushing up of their fullbacks. So City want to press constantly and constantly, trying to, like, drive the play inside. So they win the ball inside, they touch the ball inside, they get it back out. That's what Pep was doing in Barca if you used to watch like all his tactics and things like that.
Yeah.
So definitely I felt like he wanted to control that midfield and he wanted to stabilize because Gundogan is a presser and he wanted to keep that like idea of pressing. But the real question is like when that happens, that Jorginho and Conte, the way they move and mix up, like he's not getting that ball because it goes from one out, one goes one way out to the other. If they press, they're trying to press that. It switches into them and it's a quick ball out to like, the people were dropping in like Mount and Havertz, who are like basically just cams, you know, center attacking midfielders. Like they're going to get the ball. They know what to do and how to move. Like it's quick 1-2s and it's past the press. And that's where City kept getting caught out. So I do kind of agree what you guys are saying, bring on Fernandinho before, but City's tactics and the way they want to play and press get completely countered by that idea. And like, I wanted to actually bring up like City's a couple losses or their hard games were against Leeds. you know, Marco Bielsa, he's like manager. He's a really good manager. He drew against Bielsa the first game and actually like lost the second game 2-1 against him.
He did.
Pretty much. And like I saw like the lineups, Fernandinho played the second game, Rodri played the first game. So you can see how that works. Why I was saying like, hey, like against really good tactical managers, I think Pep gets outclassed if he really brings in like Rodri or Fernandinho into those roles. I think they get outplayed in the midfield.
But to be still, fair. You can't be doing that in a final. He played 59 out of 60 games with the DM. You can't switch it up for the biggest game in the season.
You cannot. And the thing about that especially is you look at the only goal that was scored, which by the way, I think Chelsea, when you really look into it, Chelsea should have won this game like 3-4-0. Like,
I don't know if I can agree with that.
I would go, Werner missed a lot of chances.
I agree. Missed a lot too. We had like 2-3 clear clutch chances, like right in front of the goal. We should have scored.
But I think that was that more so came from good defense from Rudiger. Like again, Rudiger had like two goal line.
If Foden shot near post, Rudiger wouldn't have saved it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true, but the angle was pretty tight for him to go near post. But I think
Mendy saves that too.
I also think Mendy.
Not the way Foden's in form.
I don't think so. I think he's getting overplayed because like he's playing in a really good team and he's young, but like he isn't like driving that team. Like you can see the difference between a Mason Mount and a Foden.
Who can drive a team when you have KDB on the pitch?
To be fair, he also did drive. Put
Mason Mount with KDB. Mason Mount's he's gonna be quiet. I promise.
Nah. Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna talk about Mason Mount in a little bit. Let's look at the one goal, right? And I want to ask you, Kareem, because I saw me and Mono and Riangel obviously saw it, and we all kind of had around the same idea of it. And I thought, at least for myself, I thought that if Fernandinho was there, you look at the goal that was actually played and the ball for Mount. Yes, it is fantastic. Okay. Yeah. Like, you know, Mason Mount, prove me wrong. Like he's not just, you know, Lampard's love child, but he's actually somewhat of a baller and he played in a good pass, but I mean, you look at the midfield, it was fucking wide open. It was wide open.
Yeah.
You know, you could,
it was wide open,
put a bus through that. And I think if Fernandinho is there, he maybe not obviously intercepted, but I think Mount's thinking twice about the pass, not so much the pass itself, but I think he's thinking twice about the pass because you have someone as smart as a Fernandinho there.
I think Fernandinho, he would just make the pass a little harder. But the key aspect of the goal that I saw was the most important part was the Timo Werner run. He got arguably the best defender in the entire world right now. He got him out of the way. Mm-hmm. He set up Kai Havertz 1v1.
Yeah, he picked up.
So I think that was the most vital part. But Fernandinho on the pitch, I think he would have just made the pass harder. So who knows if Mount completes it?
Yeah.
We can't overlook the Werner.
Because he put it right on his feet. Like he ran into the pass. Like it was placed very well. And I don't think he's getting that there if Fernandinho's there. I mean, really? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think because if you watch the FA Cup, Man City and Chelsea there, I think Fernandinho, there was a play with the Mount and Fernandinho. I think Mount just destroyed Fernandinho. Mm-hmm. Like, just play on play. I think, honestly, like, you can't play. Like, I think Fernandinho is too slow. What he brings in leadership and quality and, like, experience, yeah. And, like, definitely, like, he would make that pass a lot harder, make Mount think twice a little. But I think Mason Mount's, like, the way he's informed, I don't think much is stopping him there from making that pass. He'll find a way to slip through.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, it's definitely possible. And it's not like you don't come to think of Mount now and think like, oh, wow, like that pass was so out of his, you know, out of his arsenal. Like he definitely can make a pass like that. And he can even go ahead and score it himself. He had a good chance later on in the game as well to score for himself. So that's really what went wrong. But was there anything else that you guys thought went wrong specifically for City? Because we kind of have talked a little bit more about what went wrong for City, but what was it that Chelsea did fantastically well here? I think we each have an opinion on that.
It's Conte.
It's Conte.
Oh my God.
So is that, real quick, is that your guys' man of the match? Because my man of the match is someone else.
Yeah. Man of the match is him.
Yeah. So Conte was fantastic. And honestly, I think I am playing devil's advocate here because he was like, he was just a class above everybody else, even KDB. But I said it during the game, and honestly, I don't think the stats actually back me up, but I thought Reece James played fucking amazing.
No, he was definitely, yeah, he's definitely second in there.
He was such a fucking baller, dude. I mean, I you know, I don't, it's not like I don't like this Chelsea team, because a lot of the guys are here are like new guys. Like, it's not like they're like, you know, Premier League rivals with Liverpool like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of these guys are new, but Reece, you know, but I don't really like a lot of them is the point. But Reece James, he is fantastic. He can go forward, obviously not as well as Trent, but he can defend a lot better than him. And he's a smart body player. He's such a body.
He's a tank.
He is. He actually completed 7 tackles, and he was pressuring just about 24 different Man City players in different possessions. I mean, sorry about that. And he played really, really, really well. He played really, really well.
For man of the match, I would say it was Conte, but I think we got to look like holistically, and the man of the season, at least for Champions League, I don't think he gets enough recognition, is Mendy and goal, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. 90% save percentage, bro.
Hell yeah.
In Champions Leagues. Jesus Christ, bro. Three goals conceded?
Deserved team of the season as far as BPL goes. Obviously, Oblak is still, you know, a cut above the rest, but deserved EPL. EPL keeper, bro. Come on. Mendy?
Nah, Ederson wins it because, like, the fact that he won the league and he had most clean sheets. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, Mendy bro. Half of the season, he was playing under Lampard. And, obviously, while the defense started off really well under Lampard, there was obviously, like, he's not playing in front of the best player in the Premier League this year. He's not playing in front of Ruben Dias. You know, and while you could say yes, City play a higher line, Ederson's asked to do a little bit more. Mendy, just every time that he was in net, especially in Champions, just looked so fucking calm on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of, he was always there, made a lot of good saves on the stretch as well. So,
yeah, Champions League goalkeepers, him, like, for sure.
Yeah.
PL is Ederson, in my opinion, at least. Ederson even got an assist, for fuck's sake.
That is true. He did get an assist.
That is
facts.
I think he did get champions or second assist.
Wasn't Mendy homeless till 23 or something like that?
That's crazy. I think so.
Let's check that.
From zero to hero. I think he was still.
Yeah, I think he got cut from his contract or something. He didn't have a club or whatever, and then like
he was unemployed.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He was jobless in 2014, and now one of the main reasons Chelsea's winning the Champions League.
Yeah. Like, I think that's one of the signings of the season for sure.
Well, I think so too. Very underrated still too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have something about signing of the season, because that's actually very interesting. But definitely Mendy off the top of the head has to be number one.
Let me just add one quick thing real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to ask about final thoughts really on the
Champions. As a neutral standpoint, these Champions League finals ain't hidden. I can't lie.
They're not.
I'd say for the last couple of years, the finals have not been the best games.
Bayern versus PSG was an okay game. It was still a 1-0 scoreline. Everyone knows the shittery of Liverpool versus Tottenham.
Oh, that was the worst game. Champions League final ever.
This guy
can't call a handball within the first 10 minutes of a game in a final. And I don't know. It's just, as a neutral, it wasn't the best, and it hasn't been the best.
I will definitely say, bias aside, obviously, because I love Bayern and Liverpool. Bias aside, I do have to say, in the last like 5 to 6 years, honestly, the last great Champions League final I can remember is Juventus Real Madrid, the 4-1. Oh, 4-1. 4-1 where Mandzukic scored that banger.
We all watched it together.
Yeah. That was such a good match.
Juventus scored one goal, and there's 4 Real Madrid goals. Casemiro long shot.
I said we were going to talk about Madrid.
It was an exciting game in terms of goals, but the play wasn't like, I don't know.
The play was fantastic. Bro, what?
The play was fantastic.
Because that was the 1 year. 2016 is the 1 year.
I like La Decima better, bro. to be honest. La Decima Real Madrid was such a better Champions League final. Like that was like utter, like that was exciting. That was a final. Like the other one looked like it felt like a really good quarterfinal. Like that, like it felt like Juventus there didn't really, in my opinion, Juventus was like, oh, that season. I don't know how they really got there, to be fair.
If I remember correct, that was the season they had the best defensive record, I think, in Champions League history, wasn't it?
2016,
with Chiellini and Bonucci still.
Yeah, yeah, but you knew Real Madrid was gonna win that.
Like, no, you didn't.
We all knew. Okay, Kareem.
I don't know though. They were good. I had confidence, but I can't lie. After that Mandzukic goal to tie it 1-1, it looked like the momentum swayed, or at least it looked like it was going to.
And like Cuadrado got a red card related to that game.
Yeah, Sergio Ramos would have lied.
Yeah, but we're gonna have more historic Champions League segments. Final thoughts, y'all, on the Champions League final before we get into the future impact of it. Or we'll probably, we'll talk about the future impact of it in a second. But final thoughts on it, Mono. I know you're obviously sad you didn't get the quadruple, but what'd you think about the actual match?
It was a good match. I mean, we tried our hardest to get the dub. Didn't happen, but I still think Pep's the man for the job. I think he's gonna get us our CL. Like final eventually. I mean, you shake your head all you want. I still think he's gonna do it. But
he's gotta drop like 800 mil more, bro.
No, just the Messi on the free and then
nah. 100 mil. All you need is Kane. I think Man City will be back. I think Man City will be back in the final. I don't think that's a doubt. For Chelsea, it's definitely shoring up certain parts. We definitely need Declan Rice. I honestly feel like Conte can't be like dropping a man. Like he can drop a man the match performance, but Jorginho at times will lack, obviously. But like we need someone who can complement Conte a little bit better, and I think Declan Rice can do that. And also getting maybe a better striker, making Timo Werner an actual finisher, one of the two, and we can actually be challenging City that for those competitions a little bit better.
I just think he needs his confidence back.
True. It's one of the best scores like last 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
I think it was overall, it was good technically. I wasn't a fan, like, the fans weren't that happy. But like what you were saying for Declan Rice, I also think Kelvin Phillips, I think from Leeds, if you guys sign him, that'll be really nice to help.
We're looking at him in goal. January.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. But overall, it was a good tactical game. Tuchel beat Guardiola, and I don't know. I just don't think City will win a Champions League for like 7 more years.
Oh no!
If they get Kane, maybe. I think so.
I could see that. I could see another CL final loss.
Oh my!
Oh and two is not a good
Champions League start. That's not.
City, they just always, they just can't predict them, bro.
I don't know. I mean, we've been getting better. Like last year, we got semifinals for the first time. Or not first time, but.
Got knocked out by Leon, though.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. We got finals for the first time. Like, it's progress, Like, we needed this
experience. I mean, you guys were close. I think it was 2018 when you guys were in the semifinals and lost 1-0 aggregate to Madrid off of the own goal.
Yeah, it was an own goal. I remember.
Yeah, Bale shot it, and then it hit a defender. I think it was Kompany it hit, and went in.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I mean, we're getting closer, and it's valuable experience for our squad. Like, it's kind of hard to go into the CL final for like the first time in club history and just like win it.
Especially when it was put on a platter. Aguero's final season.
Perfect story. Dishonorable discharge.
Remember that quote. Don't forget that quote.
What? Which one?
I'm not leaving a City until I win the Champions League.
It would have been storybook, bro. I promise you, that would have been
La Champions viene al Camp Nou.
I know, but I don't even think if they won it this year, you can't even credit it with him.
Nothing this year.
But to be honest, real quick, I do it, bro. Honestly, Aguero did not look bad in the last.
I know.
12 minutes.
I think he'll do good at Barca as much as I hate him.
Yeah.
He'll get his poacher goals, whatever.
Mm-hmm. They need a Suarez replacement. That's why they got him.
Yeah.
That is Suarez true. Might be signing of the season on the free.
In terms of value, actually, yeah, that debate.
Yo, quick stat, bro. I did not know this until I was doing some research before this. No, Suarez is second all times in assist.
And where?
In La Liga?
No. I think it was. I forgot what I was reading. I'll put up the article. But we
second
can
second all time in La Liga. That's not possible. Maybe like.
That could be. If it's La Liga, that actually does kind of make sense. Because like with Messi, Neymar that season, dude. Those stats.
Maybe in Barcelona history. I don't think in La Liga history, bro. That's kind of.
Where's my phone?
That's kind of.
We can skip on now, and then I'll tell you where it's from.
All right. So really, that is mostly the final thoughts on the actual match itself. You know, decent match. I think better than last year's. Year's Bayern PSG.
Yeah, I personally think it was better, to be fair, because that was just a cagey match. Very cagey.
Yeah, I really didn't expect it to be cagey.
I just think it was a better match because last year was more of a disappointment.
Yeah, because it was so hyped. It was really hyped.
Can't have a Bayern PSG game end 1-0.
That's right. That's why you didn't this year. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But before that, we have to talk about the future impact of what this final brought. So really what I mean by that, it's not going to be that much because I think this year didn't really have a lot of kind of like long-term outlook on it, at least maybe on the surface. But, you know, I guess I would say comparable to like how last year with Tuchel losing the final, some people definitely kind of saw that as like the end of Tuchel and PSG, which obviously was wrong to do so because PSG would go on to win one trophy the year after, and it's not even their league, their actual domestic league. So what future takeaways do we get from this final? Do we see Guardiola leaving? I don't, but anything kind of coming from the match?
Ooh, Real Madrid, like that is like a huge, like that's like going to be like a big transfer window for them. Because like I think it was quite embarrassing. They just let Zidane go, which I think is insane.
I mean, they don't. It's not that they let him go. I think he's not being allowed to do what he wants.
Yeah, he said that the club didn't have faith in him. Which I mean, yeah. I assume when you're under a guy like Florentino, you know, it's either win or bust every year. There's no rebuilding. There's no waiting.
No, it's either do what I say or you can leave.
With those injuries, though, I honestly thought that was harsh. Like, I think most injuries.
It's just with Zidane's Madrid, I always see that they lose the easy games in La Liga and then always come out on top for the hard games. So I think that's the one flaw of Zidane, that he always underestimates opponents. Like, we'll play like seventh place and he'll put in like academy players and then we'll get mopped 2-0 and then he'll bring them on in the like 70th minute and then we'll still lose. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You got a 35-year-old Modric though, and like, you got like
still playing class, injuries. Though.
Yeah, he's. I know. I'm agreeing. Like that boy comes on and like saves your entire team, bro. Like,
yo, I found the stat. Luis Suarez has the second place for most assists in football history.
Oh my!
Behind Messi, he's at 257.
That is fucking mental.
So what he overtook Ronaldo?
I did not know that. Wow.
Second. I know he racked up. He not stat padded. Well, you know what? It does make a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense
because he did play in Liverpool alongside Sturridge and Sterling. So a lot of service there. And we're going to talk about Sterling, actually.
Bro is the service.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second, actually. But he played in some very attacking teams. And then he obviously played in MSN where he could just rack up stats. And then now. That's crazy though. What the?
They started getting assists off of penalties, bro. What do you expect?
Yeah. That's the stat of the day, bro. Second all time.
I know. I saw it on like some social media, and then I had to search it up because I was like, "No way, bro! How is that? Like, what?" I mean,
yeah. Wow. Wow. So yeah, future impact of this year's CL final. Really, at least for me, I don't see there being. I mean, maybe the fact that City are now going to buy a nine now that they realize that this false, you know, this playing no striker shit really only takes you so far.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like the whole false nine thing, like I don't think we like really played that like on purpose. We kind of just did it because like Aguero was injured for most of the season.
And Gabby Jesus is a shit.
Gabby, yeah, he wasn't really playing.
Yeah, he no, he's shit.
don't get me wrong. Like I rate Gabby Jesus a lot, but like this season wasn't his best season, obviously. So we were kind of like forced to do the whole like false nine thing. But
I'm taking Firmino.
I am.
I'm taking Firmino.
W's in the chat.
I'm taking Gabby.
I'm taking Firmino.
W's in the chat. W.
I'll take Timo over Firmino, bro. Fuck
okay, yeah, I'll take that too.
I would not, bro. All right, so that's really the future impact on it. But we're going to wrap up our talk on the CL on what our favorite moments this year were from the Champions League. So moments, matches, goals, just fuckery, anything, really.
If like the top of your list isn't Bayern, PSG, it might be like the best matches of the season right there. Those
Wasn't
are just
it snowing
like,
in the first leg?
The leg one, yeah, the first yeah. leg. I mean, they Bayern lost, but it was fucking amazing, bro.
Yeah, that was just that was
counterattack versus like counterattack prowess versus just like just amazing team play.
Mm-hmm. I think PSG had the best games of the season. PSG, Man City,
with like Barca, didn't they beat Barca too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was also a great match. They did. Yeah. No. Yeah. They did. Moise Keane. Fucking
Moise Keane with the header.
Moise Keane. That's fucking. Oh my goodness.
I think my favorite moment would have to be seeing a 20-year-old have the most goals. Erling Haaland.
Oh my god, his season crazy,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
10 goals in 8 matches.
What about what about Ronaldo and Messi playing in the Champions League again in the group stages?
I thought that was low-key kind of mid.
Yeah, it was underwhelming. Pretty disappointing.
It was underwhelming.
Yeah. It was. Because I don't think – did either of them score over the two matches?
Messi scored a penalty. I don't think Ronaldo scored.
All right, well then, yeah.
Or no, I think Ronaldo scored one, I think.
Incoming Pessy comments. or Lemicky comments, if that's what we're – talking about
his first half of the season was like 12 penalty goals or some shit. I think that was like the stat.
It was. They got on him for that for sure. Yeah.
Because they're like, please score a non-penalty.
We're talking about pens. Ronaldo scored 2 pens in the second leg against Barca.
Oh wow.
Awful.
2 washed up men.
What a goat.
just
yeah. They have nothing on Bruno Fernandes though.
They don't. We're gonna talk about him.
Oh wait, that group was exciting. The last day, everyone on 9 points.
Leipzig,
kill Real Madrid. The group for Real Madrid too, bro. That was a scary group.
Yeah.
Final day, they were all tied except fourth place.
Yeah, that was actually a really good game as well. I expected Atlanta to do more. I'm not gonna lie.
Inter to do more.
Oh yeah, they played. Oh, that game was so funny, bro. Oh my god!
You talking
like,
about the Vidal red card?
I don't know if it was the Vidal red card. I just remember it was such a bottle job, bro. It was such a bottle job, bro. That was just a terrible game, bro. I was laughing. I just remember like the Lukaku. I think like someone was about to score. I think it was like Sanchez. Came on, it was about to score, and it fucking hit off Lukaku's head.
Yeah,
she was, Lukaku. And Lukaku was like looking around. I think this whole team is just like this nigga, bro.
You can never awful, stop the bro. Shine, bro. You can't stop the shine.
You can't. You really can't.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, next year, if we're looking a little bit forward here, I think really the only new teams in the champions. In terms of
AC like, Milan, AC Milan.
Yeah, Milan's back. Lille's obviously going to be in it.
Don't see them doing much, to be fair.
Yeah. If they,
I mean, no one saw them beating PSG though.
Yeah, I mean, they're very good defensively. Just obviously not very exciting to watch. I would say from the couple of matches that I've seen. So with that, honestly, we're going to wrap it up with a little bit of Euro talk. Because it is obviously the talk of the town in the football world now. The Euros are starting very, very, very soon. So let's get some early predictions. And before Kareem says it, I'm going to Portugal.
I was going to say that too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, I want to change it now.
Okay. So I think, all right. So obviously I'm backing France to win it. And I don't think we're going to get a repeat of the 2016 because that would be a little
I see a repeat.
Poetic.
That would be hilarious. Eder.
which is yeah, this time around they'd be a lot more evenly matched. And I say that, but Portugal won last time.
They weren't even evenly matched last time, bro. France was like supposed
that's
to
what
win
I'm saying.
That.
They would
France
actually
was clapping the entire
matched.
Game.
They were so I do think France on paper are still the best team in the world, not even just Europe, but you know, because obviously you have now the changing of the guard with Belgium a little bit. A lot of the old players are kind of coming off. And now I think I was telling this to Kareem the other day when we were talking, which is really crazy to think about. But Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, CR7, obviously he came in to his career once the old golden age of Portugal was kind of dying out. So Figo. You know, you had a lot of
Deco,
Deco as well, Raul, and just a lot of the old guard was kind of dying off. And Ronaldo really, for the last 12 years or so, has had to not carry, but obviously he's been by far the best player and the best option for that team. Well, now it looks like while he's getting old and he's going to be, you know, coming off soon, it's like almost a golden age for Portugal again. You got Bernardo Silva. I mean, you have Guerrero, you have Ruben, you have so many guys. Diogo Jota, Felix, you know, so many guys that are kind of making, in my opinion, I think France, Portugal, and believe it or not, England, I think probably on paper are the three best squads.
I can agree with that. You got to feel bad for him though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do.
I mean, I don't because he won first round.
I mean, bro, he's gonna have some good service though. He's gonna have some good service.
They're going far as hell. What they drew against Spain today, right?
Yesterday.
Did they know Portugal?
Oh, it was today. It was today.
Yeah, Laporte had a master class at the game.
Did he?
Yeah. That's great. Laporte? Yeah, I'm glad he went to Spain though.
He's going to Spain now. Oh yeah.
He did switch.
Him and Ramos sound like a really good pairing.
Yeah. Ramos isn't playing in Euros. Ramos didn't get picked.
Oh, really? Yeah,
he got left.
He got left.
Who's playing? Who's playing that alongside him?
They picked Bao Torres over him, bro.
Oh, what the fuck?
Maybe because he's old, bro. I mean, no.
Yeah,
I'm
but
go...
still, with his age, I would take a Ramos.
I'm
even
go...
if you're not playing him. Mm. You got it.
Yeah, that's just
him.
Leadership. That's just leadership, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. He's a locker. He'll be a locker room guy even if he doesn't play. But before you guys go around with your predictions, I'm gonna say for devil's advocate, dark horse. I'm gonna go Netherlands, bro. I feel like Netherlands have a good squad. Obviously, they're missing the best player on that team, but
Memphis Depay.
Come on, bro. Stop it. Behave. Stop it, bro.
Wait, who's your best player?
Virgil. Best player Virgil. On the Dutch team. Who's the best Dutch player, bro?
Jasper Cillessen.
Cillessen, bro? De Jong? What are we doing out here?
Bro, it's clearly Quincy Promise, bro.
Luke De Jong.
Can't even play anymore.
That's true.
Did he ever get out of jail, if you guys know?
I'm pretty sure he did. He still got a FIFA card.
No, I thought they took it off the market.
They did? No, I packed that shit.
They could have.
I want to hear Mono. Mono, what's your prediction, Mono?
Well, honestly, I kind of want Portugal to win just because, like, Man City has a lot of Portugal players.
Oh,
Cancelo. We didn't even talk about Cancelo.
Yeah, Cancelo. Honestly, I think
Bruno.
Because they're in like the group of death, or like they're in a pretty fun. They're in a really hard group. There was like France and Germany or something like that.
Yep, their group is actually France, Germany, and Hungary. So
Hungary,
France,
sleeper pick.
Yeah, France were not making it. As I read, France were not making out the hood with Giroud. That's why they brought back this is Benzema. So
F1 and go karting. F1 go karting won it. Go karting won a CL.
Go karting won a
CL.
Yeah. No, you didn't see Giroud said if they win, him and Benzema are gonna have a go kart race.
I thought you were about to say him and Balbuena, bro.
No, bro. They already had a court case, bro.
Chill, bro.
I don't know. I don't think Germany is gonna do that well, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's Jurgen Löw's last like Euros too.
That could be though. That could inspire them though, if we're being honest.
Hansi Flick's gonna make them demons, bro.
Flick, bro. Yeah.
He's what's the German word for run? I'm about to search this shit up.
I don't know. I think we got to talk about one thing though with the predictions. Belgium is ranked number one in the world right now.
I think that's such cap.
Would you? Who?
Belgium. They're ranked number one in the world
right now.
I mean, it kind of makes sense because, well, no, that also wouldn't make sense. But I mean, Belgium is still good. It's just they're not going to be like, you know, in the World Cup, I thought they were the second best team in the world. You know, Croatia, Eden Hazard carried Modric. You know, if you want to talk about
football. That was before the burgers.
He was eating on burgers, bro.
But he was eating on some like impossible burgers. Like that shit was not as bad for him. I get it though. But Belgium's still a good team, though. They'll do something.
I think so, maybe. I think England's getting knocked out in the group stages.
Chill.
It's such an England thing.
You think the squad?
If their group was harder. If their group was harder, I could agree, but it's Croatia, England, Scotland, and Czech.
Bro, It's three go through, right?
It's top two, and then four of the best third places go in.
They play in like a playoff. Or something.
No, they don't play in a playoff. It's whoever. It's the four third place with points.
All right, England can go through. Yeah. I could low key see England getting third.
I thought they were doing a
knockout. Tell me it's not like an England thing to happen, bro.
I mean, look, Southgate is like a
terrible manager, bro.
Scotland could do something. Yeah, I was gonna ask because obviously Southgate isn't, you know, he's not too cool or anything. But do you think it comes down more to the squad or do you think it comes down to the coach?
No, him. Yeah, he's the problem, bro. Like his World Cup success is a fluke.
They beat Russia.
Two penalty shootouts.
They beat Russia. No, it was
one shootout.
Colombia, and I think that was it.
Jeez. They weren't even the best team in the Colombia game. Colombia outplayed them.
That's true.
That Yerry Mina header, the 90 minute. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is definitely England's best squad in a while, and
no Trent.
They don't go deep. Yeah,
that's a hard miss right there.
So,
there was so much talk if Trent's getting into the squad, gets injured.
Yeah. I mean, you hate to see it, bro. I mean, I think he should have been on there. I think he should have probably under Southgate started that reinvention as a midfielder. Sure, you don't want to do that in a major international tournament, but like obviously. Reece James is a better defender than him. Kyle Walker is a better defender than him. But I also think Kyle Walker probably should have shifted to center back. That's what he did during the World Cup, and I think that's where they had the best success. If you want to bring on John Stones, you know, he was balling this year.
Yeah, no, John Stones should definitely play. But they have Connor Cody. Like,
I don't know. I think Kyle Walker is using this year.
It should definitely be like Stones, Walker, Reece James, left back. Yeah,
Luke Shaw, left back.
I would start...
Well, Declan Rice, maybe. Since, I mean, yeah, you have, you know, even Jude Bellingham been playing really well.
Yeah.
Mount.
He's a baller.
Needs to get a start.
Yeah, Mount starts. There's no way he doesn't.
Does Foden start?
No.
No, I think Grealish starts over.
He doesn't.
Grealish
needs to start. Foden's next to Rashford on the bench, in my opinion.
Cool. I don't know about that.
That's a tough take. Now
is it, bro? I mean,
you don't play Sterling.
No, I'm not playing Sterling. I'm playing Grealish at the left. I'm going Kane, Grealish,
Sancho actually.
Oh well, Sancho too. But
I'll play Rashford still. Over Sancho.
I don't, bro. Did you see? I mean, all right. Obviously, just one match, but you have to give Sancho some runs in the team, bro. I mean, come on.
I think so, but if it's a big game, I'm playing.
I don't think Southgate's playing Sancho like that. To be fair,
yeah, I mean I'm sure he only watches fucking the Prem. So
when's Sancho gonna go to Bayern, bro?
He's going to the Prem before anything.
Defenders. They need defenders, bro. So I don't think they should go after Sancho. Yeah, I mean England again. They do have a very good squad. You know, I don't know. I think. I'm going with, realistically, I think France will probably do the double. But I can see Portugal or Netherlands winning it.
I see a rematch.
That'd be good. That'd be good. Mm-hmm. That'd be really good. Fucking good. Yeah. All right, y'all. Any final thoughts? CL final thoughts? Euro or way too early Euro predictions. Put cash them in now, bro, because we're gonna keep tabs. You know, I'm gonna officially go with the obvious pick with France, since I know two of you guys are gonna go with Portugal. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with France.
England out first knockout round. I'll just take it. England are getting knocked out like first knockout round. I just think it's that.
God fucking damn it, bro.
I want to hear who's everyone's dark horse. Though. Enrique said Netherlands. Mono, who's sure your dark horse?
Dude, my dark horse would probably be England. I actually really rate their squad this year.
I think Spain.
Spain. Wow. I think that Laporte signing is like huge. I say signing, but like.
But Spain, Spain just look. They've had this problem for like 10 plus years now, where they just don't. Not 10 plus years, but a long while where they just don't. Like, I can look at their squad right now, and all they have going forward, obviously we're not going to talk about Morata, but I think Moreno and Torres are really the only two guys that I'm like, they can get you a goal from up top.
I mean, is Iago Aspas still on the team?
I don't think they brought him on. No, they didn't bring him on.
That's tragic.
Yeah, so I like the team, but I just don't see where they're going to get goals because it's Busquets in the midfield. It's Llorente in the midfield. Well, Llorente will get you goals, but Thiago, Rodri, Sarabia, you know, a lot of defensive-minded dudes, bro. So
I don't know. I can't see them going far without Ramos.
Yeah. And, yeah, no Ramos, so you don't have that in the box.
No.
You're going to depend on a – how old is he? Like 21-year-old Ferran Torres to get you goals?
If he had more playing time, that would be fine, but he doesn't get a lot of –
Do you remember his performance against Germany?
If he gets there, bro, if he gets a little bit older, he had a little bit more experience, yeah, I'd be like, oh, Ferran Torres can
go. Yo, they brought on Adama Traore.
I honestly think so. I think Spain can honestly reach a semifinals because, like, Ferran Torres, when he plays, bro, that boy know how to ball, bro.
But you're putting all that on a 21-year-old to get all your goals.
Okay, Mbappe's like 21 too.
But Mbappe's established. He's a first... You know, he's a first-team player.
I don't know if you know, Enrique, but, like, Ferran Torres, like at City, he's been playing the number 9 position.
So. Oh, yeah. No, that's what – you remember when we looked at the lineup, I said, again, why the fuck is Sterling – I think Sterling should have been dropped from England. Don't let that guy anywhere near the fucking squad. But I said Torres should have been starting over Sterling, especially – I mean, you feed the hot hand, or in this case, foot, but – he didn't start, bro, and I think he should have started. I'm saying that he for Spain to get to the semis, like you're saying, Rio, I think Spain would literally have to do like 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. Like
that would have to do the Portugal run, bro.
Yeah, they'd have to do the Portugal run from 2016.
Winning penalty, their neighbors, they can do it.
That is true. You're going Spain, Rio, Kareem, Mono, dark horse picks.
Mono said, would you say Mono?
Yeah, Mono said England.
England, that's right.
I'm going to go with Turkey.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hakan
Çalhanoğlu. Yeah, Çalhanoğlu's still playing or something.
Yılmaz.
Yeah, Burak Yılmaz. He was league one.
I got to support my Arabs, bro.
That is true.
What's out of this?
You know what? We're going to go back to Mono because I don't think England's a dark horse, bro. I got to be honest. Look, yes, England underperformed. No, but
they are. They are because they're getting knocked out.
You have a top three squad. You're not a...
The first knockout round, they're getting knocked out. I think they're a dark horse.
They have a good squad, but like I think their squad is really young. Like I don't think their squad is good. They have a bunch of good young talent on it, but like at the end of the day, it's still young, it's still really inexperienced. That's why I think they're a dark horse.
Kane? Walker.
Well, I mean, those are like three players.
I mean, they're inexperienced.
Connor Cody too.
Henderson?
That's true.
I mean, yeah, those people aren't playing, bro. Let's be real.
No, mark my words. Let me give you a hot take. Italy are not making it out of their group. We'll say
nah, that. Cap. They're not doing that again, bro.
I'm telling you, Turkey and Wales is gonna finish above them. Even Switzerland has a better chance.
Wales.
We'll review this in like 2 weeks. You'll see.
Who's on that Wales squad? There's obviously Neco Williams. If Bale wants to turn up.
Bale will turn up.
I mean, Bale has been turning up this year.
Bale's disgusting. Yeah, I mean, still disgusting, bro.
Italy's Italy.
Bale has like the greatest like legacy ever, bro. I can't lie. That Bale legacy is like a, it's just crazy, bro.
You get paid mills to play a secondary sport, bro.
Like, man is such a goat, bro. Like, when he gets like a FIFA's legend card, it better be like the Wales Wales golf legend in that order. It better be that fucking picture, bro.
Wales golf.
Moments Bale.
Moments Bale.
No, Wales also have Daniel James, who hasn't seen a lot of time this year.
Daniel James. He's so mid, bro.
United. Yeah, I mean, he's so mid. He's no Bruno. He's no Bruno Penaldis, bro. So, all right. Any last thoughts, final picks? Cash him in now or forever hold your peace.
Yo, Ben Davies is Welsh.
We're going to be talking about it offset, but if you're listening and you want us to cover the Euros, because this is technically just supposed to be EPL and Champions League, but if you want to do Euros, we'll obviously talk it over, but we'll be covering a lot of the Euros as the knockout stages come. So I think that's it, guys. Last Roz.
Fuck England. They're getting knocked out, bro. Chess. It's going to be sad, but they're going outside.
Well, all right. I want to thank you guys for being here. You could have been anywhere else, but you're here with us. And once again, we're going to be trying uploading these as we go. Get a schedule as we go because we're lazy as we go. And that'll be it. Thank you guys for coming in to the Clean Sheet, tuning in. This has been Enrique, alongside with Rio, Mono, and Shottam.